Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
Folks, this hearing could not be going any worse. I'm listening to Acting Secret Service Director Ron Rowe, who is part and parcel to the problem up there. And again, tell you he's going to take responsibility and people are taking responsibility. Yet, amazingly, no one's been fired. There's a dead body, two people shot, and President Trump with a piece of his ear that was shot off. I don't understand this. More evidence has surfaced, more videos. We're gonna do something different today, and I want to just ask you to just please be patient. If you sense any problems, tell us in the chat. We're going to do our best to try to run some of this hearing and comment live time while doing the show. It's kind of in a bit of a lull right now with a lot of Democrats asking stupid questions like gun control type stuff. But some of the stuff that's been said so far is just ridiculous. Folks, just be patient with us. We appreciate it. It's going to be quite a show. Hey, you've heard me rave about Beam Stream Powder. Go get it now. They're offering their largest discount at shopbeam.com/Bongino. Use code Bongino. Thank you, Beam. Again, big show. More videos emerged. A lot of big things to talk about. Hey, many Americans are tired and frustrated by the stalling economy, inflation, endless wars, and the relentless assault on our values. Thankfully, there's companies like Patriot Mobile that still believe in America and our rights. I'm proud to partner with Patriot Mobile because they're on the front lines fighting for our rights, the sanctity of life, our military and first responder heroes. Take a stand for conservative causes. Put America first by switching to Patriot Mobile today. You get the same nationwide coverage as the big providers because Patriot Mobile operates across all three major networks. Plus, they back their service with a coverage guarantee. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team will find the best plan for your needs. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Go to patriotmobile.com/Dan or call 972-PATRIOT. Right now, get a free month when you sign up and use the offer code Dan. Don't be fooled by other providers pretending to share your values, pretending to have the same coverage. They don't and they can't. Join me, switch to America's only Christian conservative mobile provider, Patriot Mobile. Go to patriotmobile.com/Dan or call 972-PATRIOT for your free month of service today, patriotmobile.com/Dan. All right, fellas, let's get this show started. So first, Susan Crabtree, again, who I've had on my radio show now a couple of times, has blown the door off this thing in this Real Clear Politics piece, confirming again what her and I and other good reporters have already told you, that Ronald Rowe, the acting director testifying up there now, cannot possibly be part of an investigative effort that of a act of grotesque malfeasance that he was a part of. Please read this piece in the newsletter today. Bongino.com/newsletter. Please. Acting Secret Service Chief played key role in limiting resources for Trump. Susan Crabtree goes through methodically how this guy right now testifying was one of the guys responsible for limiting protective assets to the Donald Trump detail. Folks, I'm just asking you a simple question as a friend. Forget being a former Secret Service agent and knowing all these guys and working with them. Just as a normal human being, pretend they have nothing to do with this at all. I sold candy in a candy store. If I rob a bank, do you put me in charge of robbing a bank, of the investigation of the actual bank robbery? Of course not. If your brother or sister robbed a bank, do you put them in charge of this investigation of a family member? Because there's a conflict of interest. Ron Rowe has a conflict of interest. He is the answer to a lot of the investigative questions as to why there were insufficient assets available at this site. Folks, the bombshells just keep coming. Another Susan Crabtree special. Look at this tweet. I did not have this. This is exclusive to her. Exclusive. A Secret Service counter-sniper sent an email Monday night to the entire uniform division, not the agents, saying he will not stop speaking out until these supervisors are either fired or removed from their current positions. He said, listen to this, folks, perk your ears up right now. Put those little quiet place creature like antennas in your ear, whatever, and pay very close attention to this because I told you this the other day. This is completely independent of this guy's email. The counter-sniper Secret Service officer said the agency should, quote, expect another assassination attempt before November. Sounds like something I told you. you'd like to read the email, it's attached to the tweet. Folks, it's right here. We'll put it up on the screen. You can read the whole thing. The gist of it is, this is going to happen again. I warned you about this yesterday, that the Secret Service has been a failure for decades. The management has had no vision for this. Guys have been lucky. Some guys have managed to do a lot more with a lot less and get around mistakes by being creative. I've gone over this 1,000 times, how not just, you know, me, but other agents out there doing sites have managed to cobble together boxes of car parts and stuff as shields against weapons because we didn't have enough posts. The guys there on the ground have done a pretty good job in keeping the agency lucky. This guy addresses this in the email, how it's not the ground guys, it's the leadership starving these guys of assets. Except the guys on the ground in the Pittsburgh office who conducted this advance, this is a totally different story. Man, I don't know what you need to hear. These problems are not solvable overnight. They've got to get these guys in the pipeline and trained and out there functioning as counter-sniper agents, officers. It's not good. This is a year of training and vetting. You can't just hire someone off the street. How do you know they're not an Iranian spy? You're going to put a guy with a high-powered rifle next to the President of the United States without proper vetting? Do you understand the risk you're taking? The management dug this hole 2 decades ago. There's no getting out of this overnight. There just isn't. I wish there was an easy way to explain this to you. They don't have the guys in the pipeline, man. So let me sum up what Roe has said so far. He said he's making and taking corrective action. I'm going to address a few of them right here because none of them are sufficient. First, he said, well, I went to the site. Congratulations, man. It's a freaking murder scene. You went to the site? What do you want, a cookie? What do you mean you went to the site? You should have been at the site the day of. You and Kim Cheadle, the former director, should have been there the day of. Turning over and handling the crime scene transfer to the FBI. Why were you not there that day? What were you doing? Second, he says, well, we have vetting plans in place to now vet site security plans by supervisors. Folks, that's not new. A supervisor always has to vet your site security plan and sign off on it. I believe there's even lines on it, on the survey and the final survey for supervisors to sign off. So his corrective action is nothing more than the same action they took before. He's just saying that. They're going to vet security plans through multiple layers of management now? That's exactly what they did before and it failed. Number three, he says they're going to start using drones. Now? We had some wise ass in the Secret Service, a retired guy, send out an email. You idiots don't know anything about drones. I guess we're not idiots because your director, the guy whose ass you're kissing, is now said, hey, yeah, now we're going to use drones. I guess we're not so stupid. Maybe if you had a drone, you would have seen the guy on the roof with the gun shooting people and murdering someone. This is a corrective. You just figured out drones now. And this is supposed to inspire faith, man. Folks, what the fuck is going on here? This is the best we can do. This guy's part of this. And he's out there celebrating this response like, oh, and this guy, this is not, the public doesn't want to hear that. Your advance team put those guys in danger. They almost got killed too because we failed. This isn't the time for a victory lap. What part of that don't you get? This is our job. We're paid to do this. It's not volunteer work. We're paid to keep the protectees alive. We're not paid to fuck around. The hell do you think we're doing out there? Number four, he says they're going to fix communications. Now? Now you're going to fix communications. It's never occurred to you before protecting the highest threat profile figure in the entire globe, Donald Trump. to actually have open lines of communication through your security room and command post with actual law enforcement personnel with guns on the scene? Now you're going to do that. That may be the one thing he said that makes sense. I still can't understand how they didn't have communications that day. There were radios in the command post. Someone wasn't listening to them. And it's why I'm telling people who are emailing me, what you're hearing is not what happened. The radios are there. Sounds like an awfully convenient excuse. Oh, they were turned off. Really? This one was hilarious. Rose says they're going to expeditiously start approving security assets. He's the one that denied the security assets. Can you put up the Real Clear article again, please? By Susan Crabtree, one of the few reporters out there doing work. Ron Rowe played key role in limiting resources for Trump. So his corrective is to what? Stop being Ron Rowe? He was the guy who stopped the assets from getting out there. You think he's going to give you an honest evaluation of asset restriction to the Donald Trump detail when he's the one who did it? He says that they're going to have a quick staff response to inquiries for the site agents on the scene that made all these security decisions. From what I'm hearing from people, they've made none of these people available to Congress. What are you talking about? The Trump detail? I haven't heard a peep. I've got people reaching out to me now. Why aren't the Trump detail guys speaking out? I don't know. I guess they've got nothing to say. Then another, did you hear this part of the hearing? Again, we're trying our best to pull it up. They ask Ron Rowe, what did it take for you to evaluate this guy as a threat? He's there 90 minutes in advance. An hour in advance, he's walking around outside the perimeter with a backpack, which immediately suspicious. He seems to be doing pre-op surveillance. Then they find him with a rangefinder as he's trying to clearly evade police officers and take furtive action. And Rowe responds, it was a golf rangefinder. He wasn't there to play fucking golf, dude. He had a backpack, not a golf bag. Can you stop using this stupid excuse that a guy with a rangefinder with a backpack acting suspiciously wasn't enough reason to keep Trump off the stage? You just didn't do it. You failed. The team failed. Stop. Well, it's a rangefinder for golf. What was it, the golden bear out there? Freaking Jack Nicklaus? It was some crazy kid they'd already been tracking the entire time, who had a bag and didn't enter the magnetometer checkpoint because clearly he had something there he didn't want people to see. Freaking golf? Why would you even say something so freaking stupid? Folks, again, I'm not in this to make friends. You guys do whatever you want out there. I'm telling you, to the guys in the agency trying to help me out to fix this thing, God bless you and thank you. I know what you've done. I know you're patriots. I work with you. I worked with you. I know who you are and you know who I am. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for trying to fix this disaster we've been talking about for decades. Books have been written, articles. People have reached out to members of Congress. Nothing was done. Nothing was done. And now someone's dead and Donald Trump was shot in the head. Also, there was an effort by Roe, it appeared, to again pawn this off on the locals. We told them, it's your job to check. It's your job. I can't explain this to you in strong enough terms. The Secret Service's job is laid out in Title 18 of the United States Code, Section 3056. It's clear as day. You can go read it right now. 3056. It is legally and administratively the Secret Service's job to keep them alive. It is not the Beaver County, Pennsylvania Police Department or Butler County. They were kind enough and heroic enough to provide assets. That's it. That is it. If the Secret Service can't do its job and it wants Beaver County to do it, I'm sure Beaver County will get deputized, take the $3 billion budget, and figure out a way. Rowe's like, this is, man, we were, you know, we told him to get up there and cover this spot. Well, maybe you should have checked. It is unacceptable to blame these guys. It is not their job. They are there as a courtesy. They owe us nothing. There is nothing in the Beaver or Butler County Police Department guidelines that indicate that they are responsible for federal Secret Service protectees. I assure you, nothing. They are there as a courtesy. We should have staffed it. You've got three high points you need staffed. It's not Beaver County's job. You got some of it? All right, guys, do us a favor. Let me read this spot. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to figure this out. I'm going to try to run some of this hearing live. If you don't have sound or anything, these guys are great. Just help us out here a little bit. You know, you get where I'm going with this. You having trouble sleeping or staying asleep? I was last night waiting for this. Trust me, I've been there. It's not just about feeling tired the next day. It's about the toll poor sleep can take on every aspect of your life. But there's hope on the horizon. It comes in the form of Beams Dream Powder. It's been a game changer for me. See, when we're sleeping well, we can be sharper, more focused, ready to tackle whatever life throws our way. Today, my listeners get a special discount on Beams Dream Powder, their science-backed hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. Better sleep has never tasted better. Other sleep aids can cause next-day grogginess, but Dream contains a powerful, all-natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. You want to try Beam's best-selling Dream Powder? Beam is now offering Bongino listeners an exclusive discount. Get up to 45% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/Bongino and use code Bongino at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/Bongino and use code Bongino for up to 45% off. Thanks, Beam. We appreciate it. All right, let's try to pull this up, see what we got here, see if we get this hearing, and let us know in the chat. We'll be watching if you can hear this.
Assassination attempt and domestic terrorism.
I don't hear
it. Obviously,
do you hear anything?
Assassination attempt. Why make the distinction? What is different about that?
Yeah, we think it's important to cover all the possibilities here and the reality of what we're dealing with and what we've all seen, Senator. And we've learned lessons from the past. The tragic shooting at the baseball field was referenced here. We've learned the lesson from that. That was not opened properly. And we've made changes in the Bureau, and it's reflected here in terms of how this investigation is being approached with a completely open mind and inclusive of all the possibilities, including domestic terrorism.
I fear that makes the investigation potentially partisan.
They're telling you now,
Chairman,
this guy's
got
anti-immigration.
I would like to request that my July 14th letter to Attorney General Garland, Mayorkas, and Ray, at the end of the record, they asked for all kinds of information, documentation, asked a lot of questions. My preliminary findings of July 21st and July 23rd, including timelines, a bunch of questions as well, be under the record. And then our updated timeline dated today.
Just keep your eye on
this. This goes not only by minute, by second. And we will continue to update this timeline as more information becomes public. This is the way you do investigation. We need to find out literally second by second what happens. So the American public understands the truth.
Without objection, so ordered.
Senator Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you to both of our chairman and ranking members for holding this incredibly important hearing critically for the American people to understand the safety and security that is being provided to our national leaders. Thank you both for being here and for, again, answering the hard questions. This is a time of, I think, heightened attention, deservedly so, not only for our national leaders, but for the teacher who decides that they're going to go and participate in their democracy, or the firefighter who wants to hear the voice and vision of the potential next leader of this country. My thoughts and prayers really are with those Pennsylvania families who have lost loved ones or have been critically injured. Incidents. But in the one question of looking backward to the event on the 13th, Director Abate, can you just talk a little bit about how did Mr. Crooks, how was he able to get an AR-15 onto the roof of that building? Does your investigation illuminate anything that we have learned to help to make that point more clear.
We don't have definitive evidence yet as to how he got the rifle up there. Based on everything that's been collected thus far, photos, video, eyewitness accounts, we do believe he likely had it in the backpack.
Broken down in the backpack?
Yeah. We're still assessing that.
I'm hearing that too.
Our laboratory has taken, looked at the rifle itself and
which
measured that
insane.
Against the backpack itself.
Things,
and if placed in this backpack, it would extend outside. It would have been visible. We don't have anyone who observed him with the backpack with a rifle a barrel or other part of it sticking out of the backpack. But the rifle would not have fit fully into this backpack to be concealed.
Only two solutions, folks. Either it was disassembled in the backpack, or as I said to you the night it happened,
the shooter,
he placed it in
advance,
buried it or hid it
from his car just before 6 p.m., about 5:56, I believe. And based on everything we have, we assess that he returned to his vehicle at that time, got the backpack, and then proceeded back to the area and to the AGR building. And then he's observed, of course, on the roof just, you know, minutes later, holding the backpack in front of him. In fact, there's dash cam footage from a police vehicle that shows him briefly traversing the roof with the backpack in front of him. And then it's just minutes after that that he's actually seen by the officer who I described with the rifle on the roof. It's possible that he broke the rifle down, though we don't have conclusive evidence of that, and took it out of the bag on the roof in those moments before and reassembled it there. That's one of the theories we're looking at and working on right now.
Thank you for that. You take me right, Acting Director Roe. Thank you for your years in of dedicated service and jumping in a hot time. But you take me right to this point of communication. There's been a lot of conversation about the and even in your written and verbal testimony, you have talked a lot about the communication and the disparate nature in which it's happening across the different channels. One sort of foundational question that I have is, are all elements of an event communicated on the same channel? If I lost my kid and I'm at a big rally, Are local law enforcement talking on the same channel about me losing my kid that they're talking about a suspicious individual?
So when it comes to the locals, they likely have some type of common channel that they work off of in a county or an adjoining municipality. When it comes to the Secret Service, we do have various channels for various agents and our uniformed division officers working specific aspects of that advance.
So it's not
security room
that
tells everybody
the delay
in
communication
or the
losing of the thread of tracking this individual was sort of lost in the commotion of all of the other communications that could have been
or maybe was
separate from the communication channels that were happening.
Senator, I can only speak to the Secret Service lines of communication, and we did not have anything beyond suspicious person that was communicated to us.
What else?
Last question,
leave?
Really quickly, because I'm out of time. But
suspicious person with a rangefinder, dude.
Was there any communication with the Secret Service that was talking
directly
with the
president? We didn't have anything other than some suspicious person with a rangefinder and a backpack.
The former president's
detail. As if that's not enough.
That feels like there's been some question by colleagues about why the call wasn't made to delay the event. Help us understand the communication that either was or was not happening directly with the president, former president's detail, to make the call to delay 10 minutes. When we've all been to these events, they never happen on time.
But to
delay while this was being investigated.
So the detail, they were operating on their net, which our security room was monitoring. But again, having information of a suspicious individual, there were other calls that day of individuals that came to the attention of law enforcement, of people that needed medical attention. So
medical's
really,
different. Stop that.
That particular, regarding the assailant, that never really rose to a level of we should not put them out there. Had we known that there was
you got to get out of the threat assessment
a dangerous
business.
Individual out there, we would never let a protectee go out on stage.
He was dangerous. He shot him
in the head.
Senator
Hassan, recognized for your question.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank you and Chairman Durbin and the ranking members for holding this joint hearing today. And thank you to our witnesses, not only for being here, but for your careers of service to our country and to the men and women who lead. I am really grateful that former President Trump is safe, and extend my sympathies to the family of Corey Comparator, who was fatally shot at the rally, and my sympathies to everyone who was injured. On July 13th, major failures nearly led to the assassination of a presidential candidate who is also a former president of the United States. The Secret Service has to be fully transparent about how this happened and how it's going to change moving forward, understanding there's also a need to balance Congress's engagement in oversight with allowing law enforcement to conduct an ongoing criminal investigation. I want to thank the agents of the Secret Service for selflessly acting to protect elected officials and their families and our former president. We're grateful for their sacrifices and their service. And I want to thank all law enforcement, and particularly law enforcement officers and first responders, who worked to minimize harm to the crowd on July 13th. Mr. Rowe, I want to start with you. New Hampshire hosts many political rallies. Protecting the speakers and attendees at these events requires extensive coordination between state and local law enforcement, the Secret Service staff, and obviously campaign event staff. As a former governor, I've experienced some of the challenges that this type of coordination can create, but we know that this coordination is really essential to public safety. It's clear that there were significant coordination failures on July 13th. You told us earlier that the local SWAT team told the Secret Service that local law enforcement had eyes on the AGR roof. But there are reports that members of a local SWAT team never met with the Secret Service in the days before the Butler rally. What steps does the Secret Service take prior to political rallies to ensure that the agency is effectively coordinating with the candidate security details with state and local law enforcement and the campaign event staff?
Watch. Listen.
So as part of the advance process, Senator, as happened in Butler as well, there's a police meeting, and basically that is that initiates the advance. That's bringing in all the not only emergency management officials, but all the state and local law enforcement agencies that may have aspects of supporting or assisting in that advance and on that visit. The focus of that police meeting, one, is to exchange numbers and business cards, and then coordinate times
yesterday. Get to the point. Why were there no agents there?
There were of the Butler Farm site with local law enforcement agencies that were supporting that visit. And that was directly as a result of having that police meeting to begin the process of figuring out, dividing up the labor areas of responsibility.
So what you're telling me
why
is that
weren't
at that
they
meeting,
there that
the Secret
day?
Service,
ask him the question.
The first meeting led to the walkthrough.
When did
that
they
Secret
meet
Service
the CS
does with local law enforcement
officers?
And that at least some members or directors of the local SWAT team would have been part of that process?
Well, as I understand it, the Beaver County, they were seconded to assist Butler, but the Butler ESU team were part of the advance process.
Okay. How many agents did the Secret Service provide to plan and secure this event, and how many people from state and local law enforcement agencies supported the security of this event?
So in totality, between law enforcement, state and local, and federal, there were 155 personnel at the Butler Farm site that day.
Ask them how many Secret Service
all combined
agents.
Secret Service, it's in the 70s. And then we had support from Homeland Security investigations that were providing post standards. And then we had approximately 70 or so various Pennsylvania state law enforcement.
Okay, thank you. I want to go to one other issue before my time expires.
I'm sorry.
You've talked today and in our secure briefing about the interoperability of the Secret Service's counter drone capability, that it failed early on, and so it didn't catch the drone flown over the site by the shooter. First, what changes you've addressed this a little, but what changes is the Secret Service making to ensure that it has backup technology? But also, what efforts did the Secret Service undertake to coordinate with other law enforcement regarding anti-drone capability at the rally site?
We're working to determine that right now, Senator. We're getting the redundancies in place.
He's working to it's been
Counter
2
UAS,
weeks.
Authority. It is a little complex.
It's
state
not
and
complex.
Locals don't
you
necessarily
just didn't
have
put a drone
this ability
out there.
To right. do that. It does require coordination with the FAA because it does right. it could
so
impact
coordinate
commercial
with the FAA.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Chair, I'm just going to follow
Holy
up. And I think
shit.
One of
is
the
this
things
a hearing
that
or is this a
you're
joke?
Hearing from a lot of folks, but I'm not sure we're really clear on yet, is how is it that somebody who clearly is arousing concern from law enforcement isn't identified as suspicious, and how is it that that information doesn't get to the president, the former president's detail. So I'll follow up in writing. Thank you.
No follow up in writing. Get
Senator
the answer
Cornyn?
Today. What do you mean you'll follow up in writing? He still hasn't answered it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Rowe, can you explain why the shooter's drone worked?
Because there was no counter UAS present, sir.
Yes, there
was.
Well,
you had a drone system, but you had bandwidth problems. The bandwidth apparently was adequate for the shooter's drone, but not for the Secret Service. Can you explain that?
I have no explanation for it, sir.
Then resign or figure
we
it out.
We also know that in a military context, electronic warfare or jamming capabilities are commonly used on the battlefield. Does the Secret Service have jamming capabilities for drones?
We have drones, sir, and when it comes to, I have to be very careful about how I answer this one in an open forum. What I can tell you is that we have technical security measures, sir, to address, I think, what you're
well,
asking me.
You didn't employ them.
Well, the question is, can you take down a suspicious drone? Because this can be used not only for surveillance by the shooter, which obviously it was
good
here.
Good question.
But also, drones can be weaponized.
Yeah, drop
and
a grenade.
Be used as a threat to the president or the in this case the president President Trump. Do you have the capacity to stop a weaponized drone?
What I will tell you, sir, is that we have technical security measures that we utilize at permanently protective sites. We also have the ability, in a limited fashion, at temporary sites. What I can tell you is that on this day, the counter UAS system had technical difficulties and did
technical
not go operational until after 5 o'clock.
And they still walked
so
him out on stage.
In this
stage.
Case, the shooter had a rifle, but somebody who wanted to kill a president for a former president or a candidate for president would not need a rifle. They could use a drone, correct?
It is a potential threat vector.
But
so this individual was identified as a
then you
suspicious
just let him out on stage
person.
Anyway.
Can you explain to us
this is such a failure.
When a suspicious person becomes identified as a threat?
Yes.
Well, I think it's also when a weapon or some other dangerous item.
So if you, you're walking around with a rangefinder and a backpack furtive.
A rangefinder would
have a
not,
weapon in your hand, you're good.
Render someone a threat as opposed to somebody who was under suspicion?
I think the rangefinder is what initially brought him to the attention of local law enforcement.
Oh, my gosh.
And why would the president
this
be allowed to take
worse.
To the stage while a suspicion,
you,
suspicious
Cornyn.
Person had been identified and before the Secret Service or local law enforcement were able to investigate the circumstances?
So at that time, Senator, suspicion had not risen to the level of threat
then
or imminent
find
harm.
A new job. You made
well,
the wrong decision.
Ultimately, that suspicious person did become a threat. Do you think if
guys, am
the
I messing?
President
I mean,
had been asked
they,
not to
we
take
didn't think
the
he was suspicious enough to be a threat,
the
but then he shot our guy in the head. But we're good. We're going
to
get it right next time. Is that his take?
That, wouldn't that have been the appropriate way to deal with it?
Senator, it certainly is one way to do it. This is a challenge for law enforcement in general, is that being able to, you you identify somebody that comes to your attention.
It's not a challenge,
you're trying
Ron.
To determine
it's your job.
What are their
to
intentions?
Determine when this guy is going to try to kill the president, and you blew it. Stop
the
covering.
The individual was actually came to the attention for suspicion. He's on the outer perimeter, adjacent to the secured site. Law enforcement is circulating for him, but again, without additional information.
We're not
rising to the level yet where perhaps we should pull him off or delay him.
And I'm just suggesting that maybe, just maybe, President Trump's appearance should have been delayed while that suspicion could be adequately investigated.
He should have.
But I've always thought of the Secret Service as the best of the best when it comes to their willingness to put themselves in harm's way to protect the life of their person they are detailed to. And I think you described the very rigorous process by
it's
which
rigorous,
people
folks.
Are screened. And
it's
I think
rigorous.
You mentioned the 2% standard, people
rigorous.
Who are interested
Trust
in
me,
serving, only
rigorous.
A very small fraction of those individuals are actually accepted in the Secret Service because of the high standards
They're
that your agency has. But explain to me why
groups.
The Secret Service, being an elite law enforcement agency, would delegate to local law enforcement or others.
Because their guys are working investigations,
2% standard.
Not protection.
In other words,
that's exactly
isn't that
why.
Something that Secret Service should have covered as opposed to delegating it to local law enforcement?
So, Senator, again, this is where I went back to earlier when I said it was a failure to challenge our assumptions. We assume that the state and locals had it.
Don't
By
assume
no means
they
do I
shouldn't
want to
have
diminish
had it at all. You should have had
commitment,
it.
And I'm sure
you
agree.
Job,
state
man.
And local law enforcement do their jobs every day and protect the communities that you represent.
No doubt about it.
So I think what we made an assumption that there was going to be uniform presence out there, that there would be sufficient eyes to cover that
you
there was going to be
assume.
Counter-sniper
check,
team
you didn't
in
double
the
check.
AGR
it's their fault.
Building.
It's the local fault.
And I can assure you that we're not going to make that mistake again.
He will.
Moving forward,
he absolutely
I've directed
will.
Our Office of Protective Operations that when our counter-snipers are up, their counter-snipers
you got
are
it, guys.
Up
we'll
and
assume
they're
it.
On the roof
we'll
as well.
Give
and
us,
we do this all
the time
the
old
with
thumbs
our,
up.
Our colleagues in the New York City Police Department when we cover the United Nations General Assembly. And
this
so
is
that is our TTP moving forward.
Director Rowe, I would just submit to you that those assumptions can be lethal.
Yeah, and in this case, they were. All right, folks, I'm going to take a quick break. We'll get back to this. And I've got a lot of show.
Senator Scott, you're right.
Hey, if you weren't following the news, a big hit to the U.S. dollar just came in June when the Saudis didn't renew the 50-year petrodollar deal with the United States. Since 1974, Saudi Arabia sold oil in U.S. dollars. That was huge to our global economic dominance. Now they want options other than the dollar. So I ask you, if there's less demand for the U.S. dollar, well, what happens to the U.S. dollar? Look, it's reasons like this that I buy gold from Birch Gold and why I feel they're a valuable resource for you as well. For over 20 years, Birch Gold Group has helped tens of thousands of Americans protect their savings by converting an IRA or 401k into an IRA in physical gold. To learn more, text DAN to 989898. Claim your free, no-obligation info kit on gold. Birch Gold has earned my trust with their education-first approach, their thousands of happy customers, and their countless five-star reviews. Protect your savings with gold before the dollar plunges any further. Text DAN to 989898 today. Message and data rates apply. Thanks, Birch Gold, our last sponsor today. And we'll get back to the show. It's Policy Genius. 40% of people with life insurance wish they'd gotten their policy at a younger age. Policy Genius helps you get the life insurance you need fast so you can get on with your life. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. That's some options that offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius lets you compare quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. Their expert licensed support team is your advocate at every step of the process, answering questions, handling paperwork, and helping you make decisions with confidence. It's not just expenses you need to be covered for. Your loved ones could inherit your debt. Your work life insurance policy may not offer enough protection for your family's needs. Even worse, it may not come with you if you leave your job. Policy Genius gives you unbiased advice from a licensed expert support team. They have no incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. Thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot from customers who found the best fit for their needs. Been with me a long time. Don't put off your life insurance. Make it easy with Policy Genius, company I trust. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Folks, back to the show. I warned you about this guy, and now you're seeing it in the hearing. Blaming the same big themes. Blaming the locals, never answering the question why the Secret Service doesn't have enough people there. His correctives are things he's trying to hide himself from that he's been involved in. Misallocation of assets. He's blaming everyone but himself. He is the guy. He was the deputy director responsible for this. Let's go back, see if he's got any more answers to this. Who's questioning now?
17 days. We are sitting 17 days into this, and I'm getting asked questions that I can't believe are true, but the public believes it's true. So what you all are doing is you're ruining your reputation, impacting the integrity of the federal government. It makes no sense to me. So are you going to commit to are you going to do it once a month? And the FBI, the same thing, not just you. What did Director Ray say? Did he say you couldn't do it?
Senator, if I may jump in here. First, thank you all for your guidance in this regard. And in fact, we haven't done something every day, no doubt about that. But, you know, we're focused from the FBI side on the investigation part as we laid out here today. We actually, based on your guidance, we did a media engagement, not a stand-up type press conference just yesterday, and laid out in full
folks, they've been very open with the public. Justin, we must have missed that press conference yesterday during the show.
Because of the intense interest in this.
Nobody trusts these guys? You think they'd be open doing pressers every day? This is the best they can do?
Provided everything through media and through journalists and here, all of the information that we have derived from the investigation thus far. We remain committed to do that in full, answering any and all questions and sharing any and all information we obtain.
Except you're not doing it.
You guys realize the value of going in front of the press. You're
right. Except for any piece of information you might actually need.
I mean, you realize that if you don't do it that way, everything gets filtered.
Too busy interfering.
You get to put out all the information, and you should be providing. I mean, you should be every day say, this is what we know now. Like Senator Johnson put together a timeline. You should have put together a timeline. You should immediately put out, this is what we know right now, and this is what we don't know. Like you've said, you don't know how the gun got up there, right? You've said it. But that should have been out all along. Say, we're looking at it. It doesn't make any sense. We've done this. If you do, I mean, I just don't get it. Why what you're doing? You're ruining. I've said this about the FBI. I mean, the people that work at the FBI, people work at Secret Service, they're great people. You're a black hole. You lose the support of the American public because people don't believe you're being direct with them.
No faith in these institutions.
I completely disagree with your approach. I just want to finish. I've got like everybody else. I did a letter July 18th. I haven't gotten any answers yet. I want to put it into the record, and I'd love to get the answers to this because this is what the public is asking for. They want more information. They want to know what happened, who's going to be held accountable, and how we're going to make sure this never happens again. Thank you.
Without objection, it'll be entered in the record.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for being here to both of you, and more important, thank you for your professional dedication, your personal bravery, Blumenthal. And your devotion to the ideals of law enforcement.
Not exactly a paragon
for both of you. This moment is a painful one, and Acting Director Rowe, I've heard you speak in a private setting very emotionally and
I'm sure he was emotional. Great, a guy's dead. Their family's emotional too.
Well, sure,
it's emotional because he's covering his ass.
You share a commitment along with Director Abate to full public disclosure to the maximum extent possible. We can make speeches at you, and I've made one myself in that private setting about the need for broader, fuller disclosure to the public, not just in press conferences, but in the course of your investigation about what you know and feel you can disclose without compromising your investigation. Let me ask you, last week, Senator Peters and Paul, along with Senator Johnson and myself, sent requests to both of your agencies to produce documents. We've only received a handful so far. Can you commit to when we can expect those documents?
No, they won't. They're not going to hide.
We will get them to you as quickly as we can, Senator.
But they haven't.
Expect them this week.
We will work to get to meet that deadline, sir.
And when can we expect all the communications, the text messages that agents have sent to each other? Eventually,
yes.
All of it is going to come out.
Actually, not a bad question.
When can we expect?
Maybe the January 6th texts, too. Can you get those?
We will gather them up and get them to you, Senator.
You haven't yet? You understand, folks, it's been 2 weeks. We still don't have the text communications and emails from that
position,
day. And you trust him to give you, honestly, to give him over.
The local law enforcement.
Yeah, exactly. Michael brings up a good point. Oh, they just didn't know.
Or the shooter on the roof, the snipers that were in place, that it was their job to take him out. But ultimately, doesn't the buck stop with the Secret Service?
It stops with us, sir, but let me just clarify.
No, but
the perspective that they had on that roof.
Oh, gosh, here we go.
When I show you the perspective from when our sniper saw, he's on the downside of that ridged roof.
So
their
why wasn't he
from
on
the AGR
roof?
Building,
the sniper was on.
Their
this
area
is
responsibility.
Bullshit.
Looking left, they should have been able to see. You can see in that photo in Exhibit A, which we will make part
so
of the
you
record.
So you put your counter sniper guy in an unadvantageous position and then asked the local guy to take the better position and never followed up if they didn't take the position.
They should have
just to be clear,
him,
and you left open the line of sight.
But if they'd have just held their post,
here he is blaming
left,
him again.
Maybe. And there's a lot of maybes there, Senator.
A lot
they
of maybes.
Held you believe this
somebody
shit?
Needs to be held accountable. And I think Senator Graham hit the nail on the head. We need to know who specifically was responsible for doing what. Who was responsible
I
for
already told you guys.
Saying to former President Trump,
the Secret
Sir,
Service was
it's
responsible.
It's not safe to go out there yet. Who was responsible for making sure that those local law enforcement were doing their job? Who was responsible?
A site agent
for
from Pittsburgh,
tracking down
and a detail leader for the Trump DTD.
Suspicious
That's your answer. He won't say
fit
that.
The profile, 10 to 25 years old, young male. The FBI has warned us about it year after year after year. Director Wray has come before us and said, the threat is from domestic extremism.
Oh, shit. Now we're going
the
with this again.
The lone gunman. We're all aware of it in law enforcement. So I think we need individual accountability here, and people need to be held responsible. In fact, lose their jobs if necessary to send a message that this massive intelligence and surveillance failure as well as the enforcement failure, cries out for accountability. Let me just ask in the short time I have left, what is the nature of the Iran threat?
It's like a four-year-old threat.
I'm sorry, Senator, could you repeat the question?
What is the nature of the Iran threat, the threat to former President Trump that has been mentioned?
But we know that, let me be clear here, the terrorist regime of Iran have been targeting people of our country for many, many years now. We've talked about that here before. I want to be clear about that. From the FBI standpoint, we know
folks, they've known about this Iran threat for a very long time.
They've targeted
it's a real
former
threat.
President
it's not a joke.
Trump, they've called
this threat's been going on
for
forever. They're pretending this is new to pretend they just learned about it. This is why they're bumping up Trump's security. They've known about this for years.
A specific or imminent threat on July 13th?
We have no information that there are any co-conspirators or that foreign or domestic, including Iran, related to this. But we're not, I want to be clear, we have no evidence of that. We're not ruling anything out. We're looking into all possibilities and leaving our minds open to that.
Was that on the minds of the Secret Service on July 13th, that there might be some threat from Iran?
Sir, as Deputy Director Bate just said, we're aware of the public the public sentiment and statements of the government of Iran to do harm to Donald J. Trump. And we use a threat-based model.
Well, clearly it's not working.
Senator Ossoff, you're recognized for your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you both for your testimony today and for your service. Mr. Rowe, I want to begin discussing Secret Service staffing and the extent to which HSI or other personnel are augmenting or backfilling inadequate Secret Service capacity generally and on the day of the assassination attempt.
Secret Service can't say we don't have enough people and then say we're putting a president and former president out there and we don't have enough people. Then get more people or pull your people from investigative work and put them on protection. None of this is complicated. Folks, he doesn't want to answer. He doesn't want to answer either this basic question. Having done this line of work, it is the detail leader's job that day to be reaching out to the site agent who should be checking in with the locals to say, are we clear? You get this thing called the SITREP, a situation report. The situation report should always end with all clear, come on in. What's the problem here? It was not all clear. They were working a threat they keep saying was suspicious, but not a threat. When it was a threat, acknowledging they made a faulty threat assessment because the guy killed someone and shot President Trump in the head. If you can't make threat assessments, then let's get someone in there who can. And all of this bullshit about, well, we weren't being communicated with. Let me tell you a quick story. I was at Martha's Vineyard once with Obama. He was golfing with Bloomberg. I'm the lead advance. It's my site. The entire trip is mine. The boss's name was the boss's name at the time. Let's just call him Vinny. That's not his name, but whatever. The boss, the special agent in charge of Barack Obama's detail when he was president, let's call him Vinny, is reaching out to me about an air threat. He asked me 1,000 times, hey, where is it? Is it coming in? Is it low and slow? You want an air threat to be coming in high and fast. That'll blow right over you. You don't want it low and slow. Where is it? Where is it? What are we doing? Are we launching the combat air patrol? What did we wound up doing it. We mitigated the threat. He was asking questions. You noticed that none of this happened? There was no back and forth in communications whatsoever? Was the detail involved? Was the site agent involved? If they weren't, their job is to assess a threat they clearly failed at assessing from moving it to suspicion to an actual threat, which it was. They failed. Folks, I want you to watch this. Can you run that video, the long one? Just VO it for a few minutes. I want you to watch. Just keep the sound going. You don't want to. Yeah, this one. I want you to listen to this. This is like 2 minutes. Just play it on VO. Do you understand? Even if they blew everything for 90 minutes and failed to assess this guy as a threat, which
there's
he was.
Somebody in this building.
There are people in the audience and cops looking for this guy. As Donald Trump is on stage. He still hasn't been shot. Listen, there is no reason for him to have not been pulled off the stage. Zero. You failed. At this point, this has clearly gone beyond suspicion to a threat. Listen, got a guy on a horse here coming by with a Trump flag. A woman, whatever. Trump's still talking. You can see the cops looking for this guy. This is Dave Stewart of Butler PA's video. His cell phone was confiscated and recently returned. This is new video. You hear Trump still talking? I want you to listen to this. No question at this point, you got a threat. Still going. Look at the cops now. You see him running, they know they got a problem. Look at this. Listen.
Make yourself small, bro. I don't know what's going on.
Make yourself small. Everybody knows there's a threat here. Make yourself small because he doesn't want to get shot. There's Dave Smith. There. Now you... Folks, I just played this video for 2 minutes before gunshots rang out. You're still telling me you it was this person was still just suspicious and not a threat when everybody, including the police and the crowd at the site, the crowd is saying make yourself small. the guy to his daughter or his friend or whatever, because they realize something bad's going to happen and Donald Trump's still sitting out there. Isn't it the job of the detail and the site agent on the ground to be asking questions about what's going on with the threat? Well, the cops got somebody on the roof. Holy shit, we better get President Trump off the stage. Folks, this video is the most damning piece of information we have left. I'm going to cover more of this on the radio show later. Folks, I hope you appreciated me taking this live, given the severity of the situation. I feel like us and a few other reporters out there are the only ones really demanding answers. I'm going to cover this more on the radio show in a little bit. Please go back and listen to all that for live commentary. Download the Rumble app. Please follow us, rumble.com/Bongino. Give us a follow on Apple and Spotify, too. Dark times, man. You come here for truth. You've been way ahead of the news cycle every single time, and I think you saw it today. See you on the radio show here on Rumble in a little bit, and back here tomorrow at 11 a.m. Thanks for tuning in.
You just heard the Dan Bongino Show.